Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
Look at this being episode 231. Top of the day to you, Tom.
Whoa, that's a hot potato coming in hot. Hi there, Leah. How you doing? Feeling good.
Oh, yeah. All of the things are getting better and it's really good.
Hurrah, we're back in the studio.
Yeah, we're back in the studio. We've got the mood lighting on today.
That's so much better.
So you're in the dark pretty much.
Yep.
And I've just got one light on.
One headlight. Who sang that? I don't remember.
Wallflowers.
What? Yeah.
Jacob Dylan, Bob Dylan's son, was the lead singer.
There you go.
Yeah. And then I think they did a song for
Godzilla.
Yes. And I can't think of how that went. But I'm sure that they had other success in America, but they were kind of like the two ones that made it here.
And he looked a lot like the singer from the Dandy Warhols, if I remember.
Yeah.
I got them confused. I was still
Dandy
young.
Dandy Warhols. I forgot about those.
They
tour
here a lot. Still these days.
I think back in the day they were at almost every single big day out, weren't they?
Maybe they moved here.
Yeah,
they were
maybe.
Very popular here for probably a lot longer than anywhere else.
I'm definitely American.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a couple of different albums that had a couple of songs that I remember. And it's funny, like it must have been around the time when I was watching a lot of Channel V.
Sure.
Because I don't always necessarily remember the song, but I remember the video. In my head, as soon as I like met, oh, the first song from that first album. Yeah, remember the video, how the song goes.
We forgot to introduce everyone properly. Sorry, welcome to the Dandy Warhol and Show.
Yeah.
This is episode one where episode we go deep dive on our vague memories
Very
of the Dandy
vague
Warhols.
Vague memories.
I saw them at a big day out once.
Were they good fun?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were they the kind of thing where you're like, I would like this more if I knew more of their songs?
It was a good palate cleanser between mosh pits.
Ah, okay.
It's how you know, I was a young angsty fella. I think I might have seen them sandwiched between At the Drive-In and Mudvayne.
More names that I'd forgotten.
Just strong metal vibes. And then, a little sprinkle of the Dandy Warhols somewhere in there as well.
There was, what, four band members? The lead singer was a bloke. I think there was a girl, she was on the keyboards, then two blokes.
I don't know, but I'm honestly okay if we jettison the entire show and just talk about vague memories of Dandy Warhols. Test the listener threshold.
See how we go.
They were on Rage a lot.
They probably still are on Rage a lot.
Friends with Dylan. I bet as
popping
up on Recovery. They would have played Recovery a fair bit.
They would have been on Recovery.
Heroin is so passe. That's Recovery all over.
That's the video I'm thinking of. Yeah, it was like on a set, lots of colours, lots of dancing. It was really, I never thought you'd be a junkie because heroin is so passe. That's it.
It was that, and I like you.
That was like a few years later,
like
right?
I'm singing it slowly so we don't get pinged for copyright.
And I'm talking over the top of you. Yeah.
In several versions of I Like You.
Yeah.
And he does like you.
And that's great. Speaking of things that we like,
yes.
I've been watching some things. Had a little bit of a chat with Nathaniel just before about something I've watched because I know that he likes it as well.
Right.
He likes it. And we've got a quiz coming up very soon.
Oof.
But also listener email regarding a quiz.
Oh.
So let's just
Is someone
prepared.
Writing in with a point of contention, perhaps?
Yes.
Oh, I love to hear this. Well, I've got some news, just a bit of news, a few trailers, some things I've watched, and if you're good, I'll throw in a fun fact for free.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by Small Talk About the Weather. It's always a good go-to when you run out of things to say. Mornings are a bit brisk lately, aren't they? My weather app says the craziest things. I better pack an umbrella just in case. Am I right? The front desk at the council has gotten a makeover and not everyone is pleased. Instead of the usual boring counter that people can walk up to it and ask the person behind the desk a question and get an answer, they've done away with all of that, and now receptionists have electronic tablets and wander around the front of the council asking people how they can help them today. It's been very off-putting for complainers who like to lean over the counter and, when things get really heated, bang on top of it. They can't really do that to the air, it just doesn't feel the same. The receptionists themselves have mixed feelings. On one hand, hiding from the complainers is much easier. But they're on their feet all day and that's not much fun. The Murder, She Wrote writing class is full for this semester. The extremely popular course where students are taught how to write whodunit novels and single-handedly solve actual murders in their hometowns will be back next term. The waiting list is now open, so best pop your name down to avoid disappointment. Julian Yates won't be able to complete his Are You Being Served marathon this weekend as he needs to get a new TV. He was laughing so hard at Mrs. Slocum and her pussy that he headbutted the screen and cracked it. He set up a GoFundMe page so that people can donate towards a new, much-needed 70-inch TV. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
Why don't we kick it off with some news? And I think the one that I want to talk about first is surprisingly how long Pete Davidson and Kate McKinnon were on SNL.
Sure.
Well, he started 2014.
As a writer.
And he was super young, like 19, 20, something like that. And she started, I think she was on for 10 years, so a couple of years before. SNL is one of those shows, I think it's like one of the only shows that I can think of where you have massive names, movie stars, who still do the show.
Sure. Well, Lorne Michaels, the producer, has been a lot more forgiving lately of letting people go and do other projects. So Keenan has had his Adi Bryant, who left as well.
Yep.
She's been doing Shrill. Kyle Mooney went and did Saturday Morning something. This really weird kids show.
Yeah, right.
Piss take for Netflix. So he lets them go and do things elsewhere and stuff, but you're totally right. Pete Davidson's more famous for not showing up to SNL than actually being on. I think he only did weekend updates and maybe one or two rap videos this year, and that's
it.
That's it.
Well, he's been busy being a Kardashian, right?
He's doing that, and he's got his own sitcom produced by Lorne Michaels coming up called Bubkus.
Does he have another movie coming out soon as well? I feel like I saw something about a movie.
I'm sure he's doing a rom-com with Amy Schumer or something.
Yeah,
no, seriously. I think that's a thing.
She was never on SNL, but she's probably, I think she's been a host, but she was never part of the cast, no. I don't think. Yeah. What I also love about SNL is that, you know, you're talking about people who go and do other things, but when I think about movies that they have been in, you're like, oh, I think she was in that one as well for like three scenes. You know, they'll roll out occasionally. I decided I wanted to watch the first episode of 30 Rock over the weekend. I was just like, I feel like watching something I've already seen. And, of course, that's just littered with SNL people. But, you know, you may have your Molly Shannon. You get your
Will Forte.
He's gone on to a lot of different stuff, hasn't he? But Rachel Dratch.
Sure. Back in the day, you get a Phil Hartman popping up in a Jingle All the Way. Yeah.
So
I know
much
exactly
stuff.
What you're talking about. You see, Maya Rudolph appears anywhere, and you go, oh, "This is going
to
be good."
Yeah, I'm ready for whatever is about to happen. So, I would not. I don't know about Pete, but Kate McKinnon's definitely going to make appearances on SNL still. She has to.
Yeah.
So funny.
It's in her blood.
Yeah.
Well, look, talking about SNL alumni, that's a fun
easy
phrase.
Easy for you to say.
Whoa. So Andy Samberg and John Mulaney are Chip and Dale.
Yes.
The other way around. Dale and Chip.
Right.
Samberg is Dale.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw, but Jimmy Kimmel was both he and Colbert got COVID again this week, so got shut down. So Kimmel has had different people guest hosting for him. And one night he was going to have Mulaney and Samberg as the guest. That was the first night he was sick. And with 2 hours' notice, they were told they were going to be hosting the show. And John Mulaney adapts to it like a duck in, you know, just water off his back. No problems at all, swimming cool. You can see he's, you know, he's working, but Andy Samberg was not having a good time.
Really?
Within about 15 seconds of it, he's like, well, this is fantastic because this has taught me I never want to be a late night host.
And oh, really?
Yeah. Like he's really funny and it works and stuff, but you can see that
it's
is
not his thing.
Not his thing at
Isn't
all.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I mean, we've all been thrown into situations in various workplaces where suddenly you're doing something that you had absolutely no intention or any sort of preparation for. That's like that it, happens.
When you've got to give present someone else's document before yep. people or something like that.
Yep.
I think for him it's because the times when he was live on SNL, they'd rehearsed it several times and there were still scripts right. and it was performance. Whereas this was just, hey, Andy, be yourself, sit here and have a conversation and talk.
Yeah. And, it is a different skill. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, totally different
fascinating
skill.
Fascinating television. And he was great. And I'd love to see the two of them host a show together because it was a really cool thing. The first segment was Andy as the host interviewing Mulaney.
Ah.
And then the second segment, they swatched around.
That's cool.
They both showed the same clip and set it up the exact same way.
Please don't tell me it was the Mac and me one.
It would have been amazing. No, it was just a random clip from Chip and Dale, but they both set it up the exact same way.
That's funny.
And every time they talked about the film coming out, they said, Chip and Dale out this Friday on Disney Plus, not in theatres.
Yeah, right.
For some reason. Not in theatres financial reasons. They just kept throwing out different like rumour stoking lines. It was great. They were just fucking with the audience on every level.
Well, it's funny you mentioned not in theatres because as we know, like Top Gun Maverick, Tom Cruise is all about having that go into the theatres. Oh, like that's what he wants.
Exclusively in theatres, I think the sign says.
Yeah, absolutely, because he held that movie back for that reason. But I saw an interesting thing. I don't know if you've seen the trailer, the latest trailer.
The one that dropped today, was it? Oh, no, that's Mission Impossible.
No, I saw it a day or two ago. Yeah,
sure. And it's Goose's kid.
Yeah, and what happens is there's a shot where you see the cockpit and then plane sort of goes over the top of it and kind of comes down. It's really cool. You'll know if you see it, you'll be like, oh, okay, I know what she's talking about. Anyway, the director said that was only filmed once and they couldn't do it again because it actually destroyed the set. Yeah, he said the scene where the stealth plane flies over Ed Harris, it destroyed the set because what happens was if you watch it, it rips the roof sure. off the guard shack and that wasn't planned. So they were just like, if we can see this shot, if it works,
that's it.
We're not doing it again. It's impossible. So I kind of just want to see the movie now for that.
I'll be honest, I have very, very little interest in...
I'll be even more honest. I've never seen all of the original Top Gun.
I don't know. Maybe you've got to be a plain person. But your
Tom Cruise thing is Mission Impossible. That's what you and like to see him in.
That or Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
I love him in that.
Yep.
Or Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, Tropic Thunder is probably my favorite.
There's plenty of other stuff that I can leave be.
Yeah.
And Top Gun is, I think it's when he's too smug. I think when it's smug right. Tom Cruise, like I don't enjoy Risky Business. I fucking hate Rain Man.
Yeah, I saw that probably about 5 years ago.
I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm just saying I don't enjoy
it. It's not, yeah,
a bit
not
close
your
to home
favorite.
On some things.
Yeah, fair enough. I reckon this is going to be the big blockbuster that they want it to be.
I think so. Every dad and granddad is going to want to see it twice.
And take their kids and grandkids along to see it. So it's going to be big. I think people will enjoy.
Is it coming out 4th of July?
No, I think it's the end of May, like the 27th or something.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. It feels like it's going to be so like chest thumping.
Yeah. I kind of feel like it's going to have almost Force Awakens kind of vibe where you watch Force Awakens, you're like, that was brilliant. We saw everybody we wanted to see, some new characters, a new storyline that's not too different to the storylines that we already know. That was great. And then you go back and watch it like a year or two later and you think, oh, no, that wasn't as good as I thought it was.
I think Val Kilmer's in it and I think it's where Val's at now.
Yeah, right.
I think so.
Okay.
I hope so. Otherwise, that's going to be a real downer.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do that. But, yeah. What else have you got?
Well, things that aren't a downer, especially in our household. Shay was stoked to hear that Zombies, I don't know if you'll recall, is a Disney Channel series. The first one is someone digs up something in the town and it releases some mist that turns people into zombies. But if they're wearing some sort of bracelet, then they're not interested in eating brains. I've seen this film so many times. It's a musical, but I still don't know exactly all the bits because I tune out.
It's funny knowing the rules of different zombie things, because Dying Light 2, the rule is everybody's going to turn unless they've got a bracelet.
Okay. Well, this is a kids' movie, so these are singing.
Also, the movie's not series.
Yes.
Yeah,
they're,
okay.
They're you know, hour and a half long movies.
Yep.
Oof. And, yeah, the first one was about the head cheerleader falling in love with the main zombie guy and whether he can be accepted at the school. And then the second one, the head zombie guy is running for school captain, I think.
Yeah.
Except the girl, she discovers that she might be of werewolf lineage. So werewolves come into the picture. They live in the woods near the school, of course. Yeah. Anyway, the second film ended with her discovering that, no, she's not actually the chosen one of the werewolves.
That's a shame. All good, I don't know.
Because
oh.
She's either part ghost or part alien.
Oh, so she's not part zombie.
No, she's okay. No zombie at all.
Okay.
Anyway, all of that long ramble is to say that Disney 3 is coming to Disney Plus as a Disney Plus exclusive on July 15th. And joining the cast will be RuPaul, who is going to be voicing the alien mothership.
Fun.
And isn't it?
That's fun.
Everyone that I've said to about that goes, nice.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
He fits what that, the tone cool. of that series is. It's just campy sass.
So Shay would know that there's a third movie coming out.
Oh, I told her this and she jumped off the couch and punched the air. Yes! It's been coming for a couple of years because Descendants wrapped up. This is the other one that's
right.
The big kind of thing. And they tend to, well, for a while there they were going, Descendants 1 year, zombies the next. Descendants. Mm-hmm. So
do you think this is going to be the third and the last? Like, are they trilogies?
They might wrap it up, but it's easy to just keep making them. Or they do a spin-off, and this time it's about a bog monster.
I'm the bog monster.
Yeah, and the bog monster just wants to join the track and field team.
The bog monster would definitely have a sad voice, like Eeyore kind of voice.
Yeah.
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 Just want to join in.
Not be bubbly.
No bubbles at all. No bubbles at all. I want to talk about, I've still got a couple. What am I going to talk? Okay, I'm going to talk about what Hayden Christensen has teased for Obi-Wan Kenobi. He said that he's very excited for people to see it because there's going to be some cool surprises. He said fans are going to really like it. He started to talk about maybe the fact that there were some twists and turns and some returns of characters, and then kind of went, oh, actually, I think that's as much as I can say. But that's no big surprise because you look at Mandalorian, we've had a lot of people, not a lot of characters, but there have been characters who have made triumphant returns. Boba Fett mainly had Disney's characters who now were.
Star Wars. It's going to trot out reveal. Someone and be like, look. He's Boss Nass from Naboo.
Here he is.
Remember him, they're so hungry. Brian Blessed voiced
him. When's Jar Jar coming? Jar Jar should be like a Lego Star Wars animated character.
I would love to see an animated, like R-rated thing. There's this whole inside joke meme storyline thing that Jar Jar was a Sith in training and didn't realize it. He was being manipulated by Palpatine the whole time because he's the one that gives Palpatine the power. When Jar Jar gets elected to the Senate in the second film, he's the one that like, yeah, let's do this plan. And that sets everything. So everyone's like, well, what if? And so, you know, there's a whole thing of Darth's helmet coming off and it's Jar Jar underneath and this sort of stuff. I would love to see Jar Jar Goes Evil as an animated thing. Get the, what's his, Gendy Tartakovs. I can never say his name, but the guy I love that did Samurai Jack and he did that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, I thought maybe you were going to talk about like, adding it to that storyline to the anthology series, the animated Star Wars anthology series. Oh,
the Visions.
Yeah.
Sure.
That could be an interesting one because they can get quite dark in those, some of those.
Become a watcher on Facebook. facebook.com/wearethewatchers.
For everyone clamoring, here's some great news. Scott Eastwood is confirmed to be back in Fast X.
Thank goodness.
He, of course, plays everyone's favourite shadowy FBI offsider character named Little Nobody.
Catchy.
Whatever. All that means is it's kind of suggesting that Kurt Russell will probably be back in Fast X, and they haven't announced it because he plays Mr. Nobody, his boss.
Yeah, okay.
And he's appeared in the last couple.
He's got good hair.
He's got great hair.
Very good hair. Well, that's exciting. So you've got Fast X. They're still sort of talking about who's in it. So,
well, it's well in production. It's been going for a while, but I think maybe they're planning on doing X1 and X2 together. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But does that not make the second one like X1? XI?
X as well? Don't know. That's hurting my head. Do you want me to talk about something a little less hurty?
Please do.
I just got a quick casting news. This is more like just get ready. If this sounds like something that would be fun to watch, just remember that's a thing. So there's a Netflix thriller movie called Our Man from Jersey. And it's directed by Julian Farino, which you may or may not know, but he was behind Ballers.
Oh, okay.
Just to give you a bit of context, sure. Right? It's going to star J.K. Simmons, Mark Wahlberg, and Halle Berry. So she's back. That's 2 weeks in a row of Halle Berry news, or maybe whenever. We spoke about her recently. But this one's about Mark Wahlberg, down-to-earth construction worker from Jersey, right? Quickly.
Hey, I got to put these pipes down.
Exactly. Isn't he from Boston?
Yeah.
Aren't they from – so anyway. Yeah. Yeah. He's quickly thrust into the world of super spies and secret agents when his high school ex-girlfriend, Halle Berry, recruits him at a high-stakes U.S. intelligence mission.
I've got a spy.
I think this movie is going to be quite funny.
I don't even know how to work a computer.
Exactly. I think this is – it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be one that you can watch with the family on a Saturday night.
If it has any of the vibes of The Other Guys with him and Will Ferrell.
Yeah, that kind of thing would
be
cool.
I love that. He does play a very funny, bumbling action guy. Okay, I'm aboard.
Because the great thing about J.K. Simmons as well, right, is he can either be very, very serious or very funny. He's one of those character actors that are able to do both.
Yep.
And I can just see him being that exacerbated, angry character that he does.
He's too old for this shit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Not whiplash angry, just funnier angry. Yeah, so I reckon that's one to keep an eye out for. It's called Our Man from Jersey.
I do like the sound of that. One that I do like the sound of as well is, you know, I loved Daredevil when it was back on Netflix.
Yeah.
For my money, it was the strongest of the Netflix series, the one I definitely enjoyed the most. So Disney confirmed this week that they are in very, very early stages of bringing it back as a series.
So does that mean they're bringing it back as in they're making more?
Well, that's the thing. It's still a little bit up in the air, but they say it's going to be a new story but continuing the old story. So maybe they're going to cherry pick the bits and pieces they like from what was there. We don't know what that means for the rest of the wider cast. There was, without saying who, there was one character that was killed in the first season that if they're bringing it back for the wider Marvel universe would actually be quite important to use moving forward. So I could see them maybe tucking
having a bit of a reboot.
Yeah, tucking a few storyline elements under there. But it will also be interesting because the Netflix Daredevil, his whole deal was brood, no quips, no jokes, brood.
Yeah.
And that's not the Disney Marvel house style.
Isn't that interesting?
So I feel like they've got to pair him up with Spider-Man or something. Pair him up a bit with.
And
with
he would just be annoyed the whole time. Cause
well, he and Spidey are very good friends, but yes.
He'd have no time for the jokes.
No, he loves the jokes.
Oh, he does love the jokes. Yeah. Oh, he's a fan of the jokes. He just doesn't do it himself.
He doesn't do it himself. Right. He loves a wry smile.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Good one, Spidey.
Yeah. That's great.
That sort of stuff. Yeah. No, Spidey and Wolverine are the two. Wolverine loves Peter Parker, cannot stand Spider-Man.
Does he know that?
Yes.
Okay.
They were on the new Avengers team at one stage together. It was, you know, first time of Wolverine outside the X-Men in a team, first time of Spider-Man in any team.
Yeah, right.
And they very quickly bonded every time they're out of the suit. But the second Pete's in the suit, he makes the jokes as a defense mechanism, and it just drove Wolverine nuts. It's great.
I'm trying to be serious over here.
Yeah. Anyway, do you want a few trailers?
Well, I've just got one more.
I've got one more. Okay, hit me.
This one's not actually movies or TV shows. It's more about board games, tabletop games.
Ooh.
So there's a game called Gloomhaven. You've probably heard of it. It's sort of like a Dungeons and Dragons
game. It's got
like
a large box.
Massive box, but without the dungeon master. So people can play all together without one person having to sort of run the show.
Sure.
Right? Anyway, so there's been a PC version and it's been super popular over the past couple of years because it's meant that people have been able to still play the game with their friends online, and that's been wonderful. Anyway, it's coming to consoles sometime next year.
Cool.
And I think that will be fun because they're even though we're able to meet up and stuff now, you know, with groups, I think there's still times where you're like, oh, we're all busy this weekend. We can't get together to play games.
Yeah, the fact that World of Warcraft is still popular 20-something years later confirms that fact entirely for you. People want to go on quests.
People want to do these fun things. So I think, like, I think, for example, like me and my cousins, we like to play board games and stuff together. But sometimes it is difficult to try and get everybody together. But if you've got a Thursday night, everybody jump on your console.
Send out a DM to the group chat.
And have a little, like, a couple hours and then save the game and play it again later. I think it's perfect.
Yep.
So very excited about
Roll
that.
Roll 5 for initiative because that's a great idea.
Now I want to know about these. They are trailers.
All right, so three trailers very briefly. One of them is for the Umbrella Academy Season 3. We've seen a brief teaser trailer already, but there's more and more stuff coming. That is coming June 22nd.
Cool,
That's
very soon.
That's not long to wait. Whereas the second season was all about time travel and they were stuck back in the 60s trying to prevent and then make happen the assassination of JFK.
Yep.
End of season 2 saw them coming back to the present, but things were quite altered and there was
very altered
Sparrow Academy.
Yeah.
This trailer hints that things are even worse than they first appeared and there are characters that were previously gone that might be back.
Yes, I saw that there were – I think I saw a photograph, promo photo, and there were a couple of people there, one who was new in the last season.
Yes.
Who was kind of like the baddie.
Yes.
So it looks like that's switched up. And then someone who said basically goodbye.
Yes.
Was in. So, I'm intrigued to watch this season.
Stay tuned. It's going to have a lot of twisty bits.
I'm going to need a good recap before it starts.
So. Sure. One that I didn't get a date for, but I've been following for a while, and I know we've talked about before, Billy Eichner.
Yep.
He is a movie that's Judd Apatow and produced, and I think it's I can't remember who directed, but the team that normally do Pineapple Express or that sort of something, they're doing his movie is called Bros Movie, B-R-O-S or Bros or Bro, but you know Bros
like
Bros
movie. Bros is in the 80s group from England,
and it's the first big budget, completely marketing gay rom com.
Fun.
And it's his character is a screenwriter who gets tasked with writing the first gay rom-com. So it looks like it's this big meta thing.
Yeah.
And it's him constantly talking about gay tropes and all this. It looks really clever.
Who is he up against? Like who's his on-screen romance?
I didn't recognize.
Oh, no.
But a lot of people through there that you know.
Yes.
The Dean from Community.
Oh, yeah.
All this sort of.
It's just
what were you talking about? SNL stunt casting. I think this is going to do a lot of that for the, homosexual community.
Yeah, fun. Wanda Sykes will be there.
I'm sure she will.
She'll be there for sure.
So that looks great fun. But the trailer that gets my nod I want to see that.
Yeah.
It's done very well out. I think it was Sundance. I can't remember. A film called Brian and Charles. Have you heard anything about this?
No.
It comes
Who
out
are
June
these two
17th.
Blokes?
Brian and Charles. It's a Welsh film.
Hmm.
And Brian is, he looks to be late 40s, early 50s. He's a fellow that's he's gone through some serious trauma and he's had a bit of a mental breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
And he's locked himself away in his garage and he just starts inventing stuff. And some of the stuff he makes is pretty crazy, but all his neighbors in the town celebrate him because he's embracing this stuff. Anyway, Brian makes himself a robot called Charles.
Oh, right, okay.
And Charles has a washing machine for a body and like a weird mannequin latex head stuck on top, and it's clearly a guy walking around inside a washing machine. And it's a, like, it's a no-budget film.
Yeah.
But his voice, it sounds like he's Taika Waititi. Everything
so it's not Welsh.
It's Welsh.
It's a Welsh Taika Waititi.
Welsh,
I get you.
Welsh New Zealand fake robot. Oh, I am so excited about this, Brian.
We're in the valleys.
Yeah. It looks so funny. And Brian and Charles. Okay. It's filmed in a mockumentary style.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
So it's just people talking to Brian about his inventions and this sort of stuff, and Charles growing in sentience.
I'm going to watch that.
It looks fantastic. It looks so much fun. I thought it was a Kiwi film until I looked it up more and found out about it. There was Welsh. I really thought it was Kiwi because it feels like, Hunt for the Wilder People type.
Do you think that you know how Canadians and Australians are like, yeah, like we kind of get each other kind of thing? Do you think New Zealanders and Welsh people do the same thing? Like, yeah.
Yeah, you know? Because the big country near them picks on them and everyone thinks they're sheep.
Have you got a fun fact?
I do have a fun fact. Come on down to Wiggletown.
Okay.
No, that's not where we're going. Look, we're going to be talking about Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. We mentioned it earlier. I'm going to talk about the film, but I thought I'd give you a bit of a fun fact because I don't know if you know this, but they've actually been around since 1943. Very old
that.
Within the Disney stable. They first appeared in a short called Private Pluto. Now, 1943, obviously, during the war.
Yeah.
It was about war efforts and things like that. They were traditionally portrayed as brothers, but Jiminy Cricket at one point confirmed that they are not twins. The earliest recordings they had were uncredited female office staff, and they were sped up to sound as if they were on helium. And those few clips were actually reused for several years for their other appearances because, like the Wilhelm scream, you didn't need to understand what they were actually saying. They could just use that clip over and over. Anyway, Tress McNeil ended up voicing Chip and Corey Burton was voicing Dale for the Rescue Rangers show in the 90s and they've pretty much done most of their voices and appearances, things through that. They appear in the film as the two chipmunks, but only when the characters are acting, because it's a meta film. When they're acting, they have the other actress's voice, or when they argue. Mulaney and Sandberg get so angry that they start to argue.
Yeah.
They get hyperactive and their voices go back up and into the old female voices.
That's awesome.
Very, very cleverly done.
I find watching those, I can't remember the name of the show, but the Disneyland, Disney World, like how they made the jungle.
Behind
the attraction, like that kind of stuff. Reminds me of these kind of facts because you hear these kind of facts like, oh, no, the scary head in the Haunted Mansion was actually just a lady that worked at Disney kind of thing, you know, and they show the people who's I think they interviewed her granddaughter or something like that. It's that kind of stuff that's really cool because they were just working. There's people just working.
They literally were like, hey.
Come and be a
phone girl. Come over here and just talk to the.
Okay, what do you want me to say? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what, just say just stuff. I don't know if it was, I think it might have been Alvin and the Chipmunks in the 80s and I think early 90s they would have albums where they would do covers of songs.
I had that on tape and I used to play it. My dad hated it.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, he's an adult.
I get it. I'm an adult. I get it.
Yeah. Anyway, there's YouTube videos and whatnot of people have slowed them down and you can just hear the original version of that cover.
Watch out.
It's just
because here we come.
It's just bizarre. It's just an actual bloke having like singing, you know, giving it his all, but you're like, you've gone to a lot of effort for it all to be messed up and made sound like chipmunks. It's really cool. Just Google it. You'll find a whole heap of them. They're really interesting to listen to. We can't play them here.
No, we can't.
We can't play them here. That was a really good fun fact.
Thanks.
I think it's time for watching suggestions.
Gotta
watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I've been watching Love, Death, Robots season 3.
Sure, how's that going? Was there a Cronenberg one, did I hear?
I've watched, how many have I watched? There might be. I haven't finished the season. Nathaniel has. So I was talking to him, like I said earlier, and he said that the last one, and I've seen this on Twitter as well, the last one's pretty...
I imagine that's the Cronenberg episode.
Must be then. The Cronenberg one. There are some really, and this happens with Love, Death, and Robots. Some episodes are very Black Mirror-ish, and you're like, oh, I don't know if I need to watch another one.
Yeah.
And then other ones have such cool, different ideas, and you're like, that's really good. I don't need anything else from this. And that's why I like that they're short. They go, this is the premise, this is the idea. Oh, that ended strangely. And you're like, cool. If that was a movie, that would have dragged on. You know how some ideas don't need to be movie length or series length. It's just that's the idea. The first one is quite funny. You see some robots who I'm pretty sure we've seen before come down, and they're looking around Earth at how the humans wipe themselves off the planet, basically. It was a slow kind of apocalypse thing. And a nice little twist in a story at the end. There's an absolutely frightening one on a boat, on a ship, that Nathaniel and I were talking about before. And you can definitely see some of the art styles in this season as very similar to art styles in other seasons. So obviously different animation groups have carried on.
Sure.
But what I really like to do is once the episode starts, I get an IMDb and just see who the voices are. And you're like, oh, because you know sometimes you know the names, but you're like, I can't figure out.
But once you know, it places it for you and you can relax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that they're 10, 12 minutes long, that's perfect.
Snackable.
Jump in, jump out, move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what have you been watching? I think I know one of them.
Yeah, we'll talk about that one in a bit. First off, I want to kick off. Last night, Apple Plus dropped the very first episode of Prehistoric Planet.
I saw the headline of a review and they seemed really keen.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And like I know I talked, I think it was only last week where I was talking about the prehistoric apocalypse or whatever the other one was. And I was like, oh, that was good.
This thing is, it's
your brain constantly fights you that it's not real. It's the most amazing dinosaurs animation I've ever seen. But every other time you see good dinosaurs, it's in Jurassic Park and there's the context of humans and there's an attack or something like that. Or it's narration stuff. Walking with dinosaurs is great, but it was always telling the story of one character, one dinosaur per episode.
Yeah,
this is like a spiritual sequel to Blue Planet. So whereas it would jump around and spend a few moments with different things and show these different stories, that's what this is.
Mm.
And so there's times when you're just following fish and there's nothing prehistoric and something goes by in the background.
Yeah, right. And you're like, that thing looked like it was real.
They look so real.
That's really cool.
So the first episode was last night and that was coasts. So it was a lot of underwater, a lot of cliff top with pterosaurs and things like that.
Ooh,
but really
fun.
Talking about marine lizards or flying lizards, and kind of made a point that I'd never thought about. So Mosasaurus is in Jurassic World. That's the one that lives in the big water area, jumps out and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a giant crocodile mixed with a shark.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at that and you're
sounds
like, okay,
terrifying,
that
makes sense. But yeah.
And there's a segment where it swims up to a reef and it looks like it's coming up to eat these fish and it opens its mouth up and then just lays down like a crocodile and sticks its head out of the water and enjoys basking in the sun, breathing, while all these fish come and pick at the get all the ticks and stuff. And then it gets in closer and it talks about because it's a lizard, it needs to shed its skin. And I admit, and so it just starts scratching on the reef and it's like a snake shedding the skin. And it's the same way you have like Rambora and stuff eat things off sharks.
Hmm.
What the hell is this? It's so good.
How long are the episodes?
42 minutes each.
Yeah.
And it's every night this week.
Wow. Okay.
Five nights. Attenborough is there through parts of the episodes. He's super animated and into it. It's developed by the BBC Natural History Museum.
Oh, okay.
Funded by Apple Plus, executive produced by Jon Favreau. The music's by Hans Zimmer.
Oh, my goodness.
It's so epic.
They got everybody.
So big and epic and weighty. And I don't know. As I say, your brain fights you. Other times you watch things with dinosaurs and you're like, this is great CGI.
Yeah.
This looks real. This looks kind of real. There's no uncanny valley in this. These things just move right. They have feathers. The eggs are leathery and spun. Like, just every detail is right. And I love it so much.
I reckon you're going to do another watch.
Oh, for
sure. I think this is not a one watch.
No way. I'm going to go and watch it on the big screen because I've just been watching it on the iPad, but I want to watch it on the big telly and stuff.
Yeah, good idea.
And I'll wait till I get a few episodes together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give yourself a marathon.
Oh.
Gosh, that's very exciting.
It really was. It was very good watching. I've been excited to come talk about it all morning.
It's really fun when you're able to watch something that you have known is coming up and you've been excited and then it's delivered and then some.
And when it still hits that mark.
Yeah, that's big.
Solving mysteries, rewriting histories. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
I've been getting through a show that I started ages ago, like at least a couple of years ago, and then for I don't know why, maybe it was on a streaming site that I stopped. I don't know, but the UK show This Country. So it's a mockumentary. You were talking about mockumentaries before. Mm-hmm. Mockumentary about these cousins who are actually played by real life brother and sister, who wrote and created the whole show. Daisy May Cooper and Charlie Cooper play Kerry and Curtin, or Kerr and Curtin, and they live in a small village in England, and they're adults, but they act very much like 12-year-old kids,
okay,
kind of thing. And basically it's about how lazy and crazy they are, and they've got all the quirky characters from around the village, you know, and the poor reverend is trying to help them and help everybody else and be super polite, and these guys are just 12-year-olds who are just very self-involved. It's very funny. I thought there was only two seasons, but there's three, and I've watched all of them. It's all done. But apparently there's an American version. And even though I know I'm not going to like it as much, I'm kind of intrigued to see how they do it.
Is it going to be a full-on remake or a reboot?
I don't know, because when you have a show like this, like The Office, right?
Oh.
When I first watched The American Office, I was like, no, I've already seen these jokes. I'm not having any of it. But then it found its own footing and it created its own thing.
The US version of The Inbetweeners was awful.
Oh, God, I didn't watch that.
It was bad.
Apparently the US version of Kath and Kim was atrocious as well.
The US pilot of The IT Crowd was so bad it's never been shown
really?
Or released anywhere. Joel McHale was one of them.
Oh, was that around the time when he was in everything?
Yeah.
Mm. But there are some really touching bits in This Country. Whilst it's mainly funny, there are moments that just kind of get you. And then when you look into them, you know, you Google it and you realize it's based on real life about people and characters, like actors within the show, you're like, oof.
Oof.
Yeah, you're like, oh, that would have been hard for them to make. That's a bit... A bit much. This Country, I found it on Stan, but I'm pretty sure I started watching it maybe on ABC, like Ivy or something like that. It may still be there. I don't know, but that's where I was watching it. And now I feel a bit lost because I've finished it. And it was my show that I would watch early evenings. You know, it's an early evening, whether you're making dinner or just you've just sat down for, you know, for a moment. That was my early evening thing. And now I'm like, what am I going to watch now? That's why I was retesting 30 Rock again.
Well, I have a listening recommendation that I think might be right up your alley for what you want right now.
Go on.
And even better, it ties in with acorn and just tree rodent theme that seems to be going on this episode. So Squirrel Girl is a Marvel Comics character. She's been around since the 60s, was a very throwaway, jokey character. She has beaten Doctor Doom and Galactus and all the worst, the biggest of the best. Power is she could talk to squirrels. She also has a squirrel tail. Sometimes she's strong, sometimes she's not.
But she's normal human size?
Yep.
Okay.
And she's often drawn plus size. Mm-hmm. And she's awesome. Anyway, there's a writer named Ryan North. He's amazing. He wrote a book I think I've told you about called The Time Traveler's Guide to Reinventing Everything. Mm-hmm. And it's a science and history textbook with actual notes on if you need to create steel, first you need to build this and this, and once you've invented that, then you can do this. But so see page 13 and this sort of stuff. Anyway, the footnotes are where all the jokes are, and yeah, that's his style. He's also been a comic book writer for many years, and he was the guy in charge of Squirrel Girl for a long, long time. And he made her a computer science major, so mm-hmm. she's at university, and she's brilliant, and she tries to solve all the fights with the power of friendship. That's her first deal. And she has a team of friends that are just as weird as she is. There's a guy named Koi Boy. He can talk to fish.
To the fish, yeah.
Yep. Chipmunk Hunk, easily said. And then a 1950s German brain in a jar on a robot.
Yeah.
My name is Brian Drain. Because my creator called me Brain Drain and I don't like that name. He's going through an existential Nietzsche crisis of conscience at all time. Anyway, so their comic book series went for several years. Mm. And at the very end of it, Doreen, Squirrel Girl, her identity was revealed to the world a la Spider-Man style in the movies. And she's been trying to merge that personality. Now, no one's really run with her too much because that storyline was so beloved and it sat there for a couple of years. Ryan North is back. Hmm. He wrote one introductory comic that is on Marvel Unlimited and Infinity lead up because it's now podcast form.
Ah.
And he's written, I think it's 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And it's out on SiriusXM or SiriusFM, wherever Marvel podcasts are. But you can also now get them on iTunes. They come out weekly.
Yep.
And it's the storyline that for her next class to pass, she has to get credit by running a radio show for 10 weeks.
That's good.
And so all the cast from the comics are there. The Ryan North wrote a theme song and recorded it. It's catchy as hell. Her motto is eating nuts and kicking butts.
That's good. So is it kind of like the Sandman audio?
Well,
podcasty books?
No, because it's literally just them sitting around talking.
So it must be
she's running a superhero or supervillain advice hotline. So people can call into the show advice back. First episode has John Hodgman call in as himself. Second one has Leah Thompson call in asking for advice because, and this is a legit thing, she actually wants to direct Howard the Duck reboot because she was in the first Howard the Duck.
Yeah, right.
And she calls in and talk about it. So it's really meta and all this sort of stuff. But then you get people like Paul Scheer calling in playing Spider-Man and everyone who's acting it is an improv actor. And I can't remember her name, but the woman that plays Squirrel Girl was the woman that Marvel had selected for the unaired New Warriors pilot that got filmed a few years ago. And every time that they've tried to make something with Squirrel Girl, she's cast because she's damn too perfect. Good.
Yeah.
And so she's finally getting to sink her teeth into this role and just having so much fun. Each episode's about 38 to 45 minutes. And they leave me beaming.
Oh, and that's good.
And I you don't need to have read any of the comic or anything for it. It's just, it's this weird thing that's taking place in the funny part of the Marvel universe.
I do like it when there's like radio stuff that's not radio stuff. Because, I mean, it really works obviously in audio. But I also quite like watching movies or TV shows where they've got somebody who's a radio person and you're like, that's wrong. Oh no, they got that bit right. No, they would happen. That's wrong. That wouldn't happen.
I just think because this show is as much about what you go through making a show as it in actually what's in the show that they're doing.
Yeah.
They're constantly fumbling.
That's awesome.
It's great. It's called Squirrel Girl Infinity Podcast.
And you found it on iTunes?
Yes.
Is it free or are you going to pay?
Oh. It's free.
Okay. All right. I'm going to listen to that then.
I want to hear what you think of that. I know we recommend stuff to each other a lot, but this is one that I got halfway through the first episode. I'm like, oh,
this
my
is
God.
Leah. This is for Leah.
This is just you.
I'm so excited.
Her best friend, Nancy, is a cat obsessive.
Oh, even better.
I know. Her pet cat and Loki are best friends. So she becomes great friends with Loki because of their mutual cat fondness.
There's a lot.
Oh, so much to unpack with this.
But I'm not going to get confused.
No. It's easy to follow. It's just bonkers. Okay, what Deadpool is to millennials and also, or more Gen X of like that sarcastic quip, I'm over this.
Yeah.
She is Gen Z and you know, very flippant about things, but also very positive and hopeful about the world and believes that she can change things. And so anyway, I'm rambling about it. It's great.
It's cool. All right. I'm going to watch that. The only other thing I'm going to talk about is, it's just because I've talking about this has made me think about it. I rewatched Truth About Cats and Dogs with Uma Thurman, Janine Garofalo, Raffalaffalo, and the English bloke, right?
Rupert Everett?
No. I'm going to have to find his name now because I know he's been in other stuff, but he's one of those people I don't know the name of. The Truth About Cats. I don't like typing out so many words until I get the answer. Ben Chaplin.
I don't know who that is.
And you'd know his face, right? Okay. But Jamie Foxx is in it.
Sure.
As like his friend.
Who voices the dog?
No.
Am I thinking like who's talking now or something?
Yes. So this is about Janine.
Yeah.
Who is she's got a radio segment on a radio station and she's a vet, right? So people call in and ask advice about what they should do with their pets, right? And that's fine. I think it's very funny that they make it look like she's a full-timer at the radio station where that, in all honesty, would probably be an hour tops segment. But anyway, that's great. She works there full-time doing that. She speaks to a guy on the radio and that's Ben Chaplin, and she's like, oh, he's really nice. And then he came to the radio station and just came up and thanked her, which that wouldn't happen. Like, how would a listener get into the radio station?
Security.
Anyway, we'd do that, right? And then he doesn't see her. He only hears her voice. And then she freaks out, realizing that that's him, right? So she gets Uma Thurman to pretend to be her. And then there's all like this crazy, what is that Roxanne movie from the 80s with Steve Martin and he's got a really long nose?
Oh, sure, yeah.
And that's based on a really super old story as well where the real person is the person who's shy, but the person that the love interest sees is not really the actual person that they should be.
Oh, boy.
But it's that kind of thing, right? But I'm watching it, and it was enjoyable. Like, I did enjoy watching it again. But at times I'm like, oh, there was not the name Catfish for this back then, but this is Catfish. This is catfishing.
Sure, that's awkward. Yeah, it's like how Ms. Doubtfire is really awkward now.
Yeah.
Side note, someone made a meme that really unsettled me the other day. It was a sequel to Mrs. Doubtfire, but it was called Mr. Doubtfire and it was Glenn Close.
When they dress her up as a bloke.
Yeah.
It
was a lot. Anyway, sorry for that.
I'm going to have to.
That's a bit icky. Back then, funny.
It would have been totally fine, hilarious. But there's been society changes, societal changes.
It was a different time.
Different
time.
Anything else to watch?
Look, I'm very briefly going to touch because I've talked so much. But Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers was great. I loved it. I am happy to wait another week or two if you want to check it out and we'll dive into it together because I don't know how to approach it without spoiling lots. It takes a swerve quick.
Oh, okay. Well, I do know that there's a character in there – that is not from Chip 'n Dale's or Disney. And because I was listening to another podcast and they were like, we don't know how they managed to get this character and this character to look like
correct.
That.
Correct.
Okay.
It is mind-blowing.
Yep.
I've watched it twice and I don't think I've seen 10% of what's going on in the background yet. There is a point where they're walking down the street and the graffiti in the background, I had to pause. It's the same mural that Miles sprays in into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, wow.
There is no reason for that to be there other than they wanted to use some cool graffiti.
Yeah.
There is a scene at the high school and the transformer they use in the crowd shot is Blaster, who is my favorite. That's neither here nor there. But he's such a tangential Generation 2, third-tier character. He is tucked down there. You know what I mean? They could have used Optimus or Bumblebee or all these known Transformers, but instead they're like, no, use Blaster, the guy that turns into a fucking boombox. Not Soundwave. No, Soundwave is the one everyone knows. Use Blaster. Behind him.
No, behind, no, further.
There's that. There's the Bigfoot from the Goofy movie, isn't it, for a brief moment. Jimmy Neutron's hair, only his hair.
Just the hair.
And I can't go into why there are only elements of certain characters.
Okay.
But, oh, my God, this film, if you appreciate the history of animation and you love different styles, this film has a lot for you. And if it bothers you watching the trailer of like, why is he in CGI and why is he just old school animation?
Yeah, yeah.
They address that
It
turns into some of the funniest jokes I've laughed at in a long time.
Oh, cool.
Just, this is a love letter. In the same way that Who Framed Roger Rabbit was a love letter to what animation had done to that point, as well as a throwback to detective cop films and stuff like that hard-boiled noir thing.
Yeah.
This is a throwback love letter to Lethal Weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And the last 30 years of animation. And that's it. It doesn't need to go back further. Sometimes they do go back a bit further. But there's a very clear line in the sand of like, hey, we were popular in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yep.
That's where we're going to reference from.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, fuck. Randy Marsh, Stan's dad from South Park, is in the background of a place that not – good things are going on and he's just hanging out in the background.
Just having some issues. This is on Disney Plus, right?
It is, and I don't understand how this film got made. I love it so much. I want to wait until you've seen it.
Okay. I'll watch it over the weekend.
I do think you'd quite enjoy it.
Mm.
Shay loved it. I'm going to watch it again with Linz.
Yeah, cool.
Really delivered.
All right. Well, I'm glad you got the chance to.
It's a good week of watching for me. A lot of stuff I really enjoyed.
Very busy. It's time for. Okay, this is how we're going to do it.
We stopped.
This is now time for the quiz.
You made me snort.
Okay, so we're not doing the quiz yet. We're going to read this email.
Yes.
Because it's quiz related, and then we'll get into the actual quiz. Dear Leah and Tom, upon listening to We Are the Watchers episode 230, I feel it is my civic duty to point out a gross mistake and therefore strip Tom of his first ever bonus points.
What? What? Now I notice that you've intentionally not told me who this is from yet.
Well, I think just because you might get a bit confused.
All right, keep going.
In reference to the question in Leah's quiz about sequels to one of the greatest movies of all time, no, actually just the 80s, Karate Kid, Tom replied that there were four movies plus Cobra Kai, the series. He is, in fact, totally incorrect. The correct order should reflect Karate Kid, the original from 1984, Karate Kid 2, the one where they went to Okinawa.
Sure.
1986. Karate Kid Part 3, Daniel and Mr. Miyagi open a bonsai shop opposite the pottery shop owned by Robin Lively. Oh, that's a name I haven't heard for years. Daniel and Jessica get it on, and Daniel has to defend his little in the All the Valley Championship. Oh, his title, sorry. His title in all the Valley Championship against Mike Barnes. Easy to forget, 1989. The next Karate Kid. Yeah, the really crap one with Hilary Swank, yeah. 1994. The Karate Kid. The even shittier Jaden Smith incarnation with a side order of Jackie Chan, 2010. Then Cobra Kai series. So that's five plus the series. Wow, it's a lot of typing to prove my point. Tom, I'm still reading. Tom, I'm taking your first ever bonus points. And Leah, oh, Leah, I know you've been crook, so all is forgiven. Yours sincerely, a long-time listener, Matt. But it's not your brother.
Thanks, Matt.
I think we're both responsible for that.
We are, and I appreciate that he showed his workings. That is incomparable. And
look,
he's you've got me. And I stand corrected. I forgot about the fucking bonsai shop.
I don't think I ever saw that one. Reading that out loud, I was like, I have no recollection of this whatsoever.
Yeah, my brain jumped straight to Hilary Swank in part three. There you go.
I think sometimes, this is not in our defense, I think sometimes we can't be bothered to look it up on the spot.
Oh, we don't look it up.
So
you
we
might.
Just go
You've
with
got
it.
Computers. I've got a screen with a few notes written down and that's it. I don't look.
Yeah.
It's a quiz. You can't expect me to look.
You can't expect. You're not allowed to. And so thank you very much. That was sent to thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I thought you were going to say that was from Abe.
Oh, no, it does sound Abe-like, doesn't it? But that would have been more Star Wars. Like if we said something about Star Wars.
Matt, you are an eloquent sir and you're a gentleman and a scholar and I appreciate a correction like that. Warranted.
Also, great reviews as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, crap Hilary Swank one, don't watch one with Jaden Smith. Like, you know, now we know.
We know which way you lean.
Yeah, exactly. But it is time for another quiz. So what I'll do is I've got to tell you the name of it. Who doesn't have a star? So I'm going to give you famous actors and you tell me if they have a star or have ever had a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I know that the stars move around and stuff, right? Chris Rock. I was thinking about him and the slap and all that kind of thing and I was like, I wonder if he's got one.
No.
He does.
He does?
He got one in 2003, which is why you don't remember.
For Madagascar?
I don't know, but he...
Wouldn't have been for fucking grown-ups.
He doesn't look that much older now, which
is
really funny,
right? He doesn't
look any
different. It's weird. Chris Rock just didn't age.
He's
less hairy and somehow hairier. His hair moved.
Yeah, his hair's kind of gone higher.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about Hugh Jackman? Not about the hairiness, the walk of. I want to know if he's got a star.
Wolverine's
got
to have one.
Yeah, gotta he's have got one.
And because they want that visual of the claws in the
they
pit
paid
in the concrete tour.
Pay that money, yeah. X-Men. Yeah, he got his in 2012. So that fits about right, I reckon.
Yeah,
fits about right. What about Julia Roberts?
Oh, she's got to have one.
Doesn't have one. I know. Oh, nobody else except for me just saw that reaction. You jumped with shock backwards.
Genuinely thrown by that.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
Erin Brockovich,
she was in the Oceans movies, if you remember. Like, she is Pretty Woman. No star. Bizarre.
Maybe she's got a thing against Rodeo Drive and Beverly Hills.
Yeah,
and all that.
She's been there too much. There, done that. I'm not doing it. So then I thought, oh, okay, so no Julia Roberts. What about another Julia? Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Been in a lot of stuff.
I feel like the four of the Seinfelds would have been put in the concrete together. But maybe not Michael Richards because he said bad things.
Oh, yeah, he said really bad things. And she got hers around the time he said the bad things. She got hers in 2010. So it would have been during...
The New Adventures of Old Christine.
Yeah, before Veep, maybe?
No, the Old Adventures of New...
The Christine one.
The Christine Adventures.
Yeah. I want a show to be called that now. That's brilliant. The Christine Adventures, because people would be like.
What's that about? It's about Christine. What the fuck do you think it's about?
Okay, I'll watch it. Huh? Oh, that's really good. What about Carrie Fisher?
Carrie Fisher? I feel like she would have told him to get fucked.
I think that might have been what happened. She doesn't have one. But I did a little bit of research and they announced a heap of people who were going to get them this year.
Yes.
And her name was on there, but it hasn't happened yet.
Well, see, there's a whole thing with you've got to pay.
It's a lot. It's and for it's the council, right?
It is. It council. Is. And so, like, Weird Al, people have been campaigning for him for years to get one, and he refused to pay for it. He said, I'm not – that's not who I am as an artist. I don't want to do that.
Fair enough.
But if they were to award it to me or if my fans were to organise it, I would consider it. And sure enough, they did that last year after like 4 years of campaigning to let it be happening.
GoFundMe or something.
Yeah.
That's nice.
He finally got it.
It's nice.
But that's when I first learned about this whole thing. There are a lot of people that just go, no, I'm not paying for it. I don't want your placard.
Which is why when you said, oh, Wolverine would have it, because I could see the date, you know, 2012, I was like, obviously studios pay for them, like you said, to get those photographs.
Yes.
All right, we've got a final one, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Has he got two or is it just
– he have two? Oh, do you mean like put your hands in the concrete for man's Chinese theatre? Does that – that's a different thing, right? Yeah, I think it's a different thing. I don't know. There's not that many of those ones.
No, and they change them up.
Yeah.
So that's why sometimes occasionally there'll be a second person go.
You might see like – I think they've still got R2-D2 and C-3PO. You'd hope so. I remember that one. No, Leonardo DiCaprio does not have one either.
Not interested?
I don't think he's interested. Same with Julia Roberts. I think they're just like, nah, I'm famous enough. They're very –
there's got to be a point where you springboard over the need for a star.
I don't need it. I've got my Oscars. Like those two could be in anything they wanted.
Yeah.
And they have been able to do that for years, right? But when I think, you know, I'm pretty sure I've seen photographs of Denzel Washington with it. So you still get like critically acclaimed actors doing it, but not these two.
I'd just love it if some celebrity would be willing to do it as long as they misspelled his name. Like how good would it be a photo with Grog Kinnear? It's just him on the ground.
I know who would want that. Eric Andre would want it.
Hell yeah.
Don't know how they would maybe Eric Andre?
Eric Sondre. Yeah.
Good work.
I enjoyed
everyone.
That quiz. There's some good stumpers there.
And you learn, you know, like we've learnt stuff along the way now. And they have been researched, so I'm not expecting an email talking about.
Matt, I think you should try and hit us up once a month with a correction from the show.
Yeah.
Pull us up.
Because also there's a highly likely chance, there were a lot of words in there that didn't need to be in that sentence. There is a good chance that we have forgotten what we said. So even if you do correct, we'll be like, oh, that sounds like something we would have said gotten wrong. Yeah.
Honestly, the second we stop recording, this is booted from my mind. I don't mean that rudely. You and You've I, we cram. It. We prep for the show.
Yeah.
Now it's done. We've got to jettison it and start working for the next episode.
That's right. Of course, I do listen to it again.
You've got to listen to it a few times.
Yeah.
And I overhear it in the house because my 9-year-old listens to us going to sleep.
That's so fun. I'll go to sleep. Yeah. I've got sometimes certain we'll podcasts driving. To go to sleep.
Well, sometimes we'll be driving to school the next morning. You were very sweary last night, Dad.
You know, it's really hard because I'll edit and then when I put it up to be uploaded, there's a little box you tick saying, was it explicit or was it clean? And I go, I don't remember. I'll just write explicit.
It's me.
I don't remember.
And I'm behaving myself really well.
See, I don't know if you swore in this one. Maybe you did. If you've gotten passionate, that's where it happens.
Yeah.
I'll know. I'll listen to it. I'll listen to it. Tom, on that note, thank you very much.
Yahtzee!